August 7th. Welcome to
Thursday, August 7th. Welcome to the Tuesday podcast.
Thursday.
I just wanted to do that one. Oh, two Thursday, excuse me.
If you're going to be a jerk and interrupt me like that, you can at least get the day right.
I know. I was meaning to do that, just like stop at him and change it up a little bit like we did last week.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
Congratulations, Herc. It worked. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. Our video show returns this afternoon. We're going to be joined by Dane Perry. He's going to break down some stuff. We talked about Dane's David Price article yesterday, so we'll ask him about that. So check that out. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Today, Danny Salazar demoted. Matt Kemp and Chris Davis keep homering. Shelby Miller had a good start. Jeremy Hellickson had a good start. Sonny Gray, Jake Arrieta, and Julio Teheran did not have a good start. Or good starts. And we begin with this question.
Can we begin with a shout-out?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Get the bleeper ready.
I got to get a shout-out to my boy Ethan B. on Twitter. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we made fun of Adam for throwing cats in the middle of the street? Ethan has been really good about superimposing Adam's head on pictures with cats. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's.
And
it's,
now, you know, the wall outside my cube is just littered with these pictures. So
littered.
People walk by. You like
littered,
that?
Herc. Nice. Nice.
So, Ethan, thank you, man. You bring joy to the office.
Question of the day. We were debating this in the office yesterday. Who is the NL MVP?
Al Melchior.
I'm an NL guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not an MVP.
It's a tough one. They're dropping like flies. Goldschmidt, McCutcheon, Tulo.
Well, McCutcheon.
I think McCutcheon could be back soon enough.
It could.
To do it.
Who do you think is going to win the NL MVP?
Is Wainwright in the mix? I mean, he's had such a good season.
Wainwright would be.
I don't even think he's the Cy Young.
Yeah.
I tell you, Kershaw, I'm not a huge fan of pitchers being MVPs, and Kershaw missed a lot of time, but I think he deserves some consideration. I think, unless he misses like a whole month, I think it's McCutcheon.
Yeah. You know who it is, though? It's Carlos Gomez.
I was going to say Bryce Harper.
I'm serious, though. Stanton, Carlos Gomez, two non-McCutcheon candidates. Tulo has a shot, too.
Yeah.
I would,
and Stanton deserves a lot of consideration. Maybe should be the MVP, and especially if the Marlins even finish around 500, I think he should be. But
you know,
I think voters take the one loss thing.
Well, Al, I was going to say, you know, if Marlins fans are voting, he wouldn't even be in the race because
right.
The fact he wasn't an All-Star was just starting All-Star. Excuse me, was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think Carlos Gomez will win it, but he deserves some credit. And he's hitting some homers now. Good for him. All right, the big news. Cliff Lee out for the year. You can drop him. He's 78% owned. Danny Salazar sent to AAA after a bad start yesterday. Chen Chang Lee was called up. Salazar gave up a combined 4 earned runs in his previous 3 starts. Did have 6 walks in those 3. And then yesterday, 5 runs in 4 innings. So this is weird.
This is silly. It really is. They just optioned Josh Tomlin, so okay. I like the idea of...
I thought he got demoted to the bullpen, Tomlin.
Oh, that could
I'm
be.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, you probably have that right.
Yeah, so he got optioned.
Fantasy Baseball Today,
demoted.
Tuesday.
Well, Tom's out of rotation.
Right, exactly.
I like the idea of getting Carrasco in there and giving him another shot because he's been really good in relief. But... who else? Are they, if they bring up McAllister to replace Salazar, I think that's just silly.
Well, drop or stash?
Stash. Look at the way that they've yo-yoed McAllister, TJ House, Tomlin.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing there, but I expect Salazar will be back, and I expect he'll be pretty good when he's back.
Excellent use of yo-yo. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Miguel Cabrera has been limping, and he said he wasn't fully 100% healthy from last year's groin injury. And he's having a really good year, but he's not having a I'm so much better than everybody else other than Mike Trout year. So keep an eye on that. And I asked you guys, I think, right after the All-Star break or during the All-Star break, and I actually don't know if Herc was on the show, but I asked you, is Miguel Cabrera going to be 2012-2013 version of Miguel Cabrera rest of season? You both seem to think yes. I think it was you and Scott, Al.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still feel that way, or do you think he's going to be 2014 Cabrera, which is really good, but not 344 with 44 homers?
With Cabrera, it really could be anywhere in that range. But I think that the season-to-date part of the range is the bottom of the range. So I guess my expectations This feels very boring to say it. It's in the middle. I have to admit, I would be surprised to see him make a full comeback to most dominant Cabrera form. But I think he'll rebound somewhat.
Yeah, Al said it best. I really can't say it any better. I mean, we can't sit here and say, you know, drop Miguel Cabrera, trade Miguel Cabrera, you know, because he's still, what, 80% Miguel Cabrera is still better than 80% of the league. I mean, it's just maybe even 90% of the league. He's just that good of a player.
Okay, and Matt Williams, the Nationals manager, says he will challenge to a duel any man who asks him about Bryce Harper being sent to the minors.
Talk about throwing down the gauntlet.
He didn't really say that, but he got really pissed.
Yes.
When it was brought up.
Because I think he misspoke when he went on the radio Wednesday morning. They asked him, you know, is it a crazy idea, is it a terrible idea to send Bryce Harper to the minors? And he had this, you know, big quote and stuff like that. And it was just like, it's not crazy, but he did say we can't do that with Bryce Harper. He's just a special player. He deserves to be here, and this is how he's going to get out of a slump in the majors.
Who stood out to you guys on Wednesday?
Those games yesterday?
Plenty of them.
Drew Hutchison certainly did. Did not see that coming.
No.
And there's been so much inconsistency that I don't really expect a performance like that very, very often from Hutchison. In the game recap, there was some discussion about whether or not, you know, he had been tired. I guess there had been speculation about that. And Hutchison himself and the manager, you know, both sort of played it down and denied it. But he's an innings limit guy. I think we've been assuming that anyway. I think there were some reports. So that's another thing to look at with Hutchison. This doesn't move the needle for me, but it's certainly worth mentioning because I think it was the best pitching performance from yesterday.
I would say so. 8 2/3, one run. One hit, right?
Yeah, home run.
With 8 strikeouts and 1 walk, and he retired 22 straight batters. And 2 of his last 3 have been pretty good. 2 starts next week for Hutchison at Seattle and at Chicago, at the White Sox. Yordano Ventura was really good yesterday, too. Yeah, the numbers weren't even close. But we'll talk about him a little bit later.
Yeah,
he's pitching well.
The one guy I wanted to talk about was, Jake Arrieta. So I'm sitting there watching the game on my phone yesterday, and he gets through 2 innings, pretty much 2 hits, perfect or whatever not. And he, not perfect, but scoreless, excuse me. And I'm sitting there like, oh, okay, I benched him this week. I was like, you know, it's Colorado. I'm like, I guess I was wrong. I guess he's just got to the point in the way he's just a must start anywhere he goes. And then all of a sudden he just gets hit and lit up. And then I'm like, okay, so now we can't start anybody who goes to Colorado. Name any pitcher, maybe Kershaw, but doesn't even Kershaw struggle when he goes to Colorado? I don't think he has really good numbers.
Not this year. This year, right. The Dodgers have actually pitched very well in Colorado.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sitting here and just scratching my head. I said, anybody now you see who's pitching in Colorado, you have to really question about Sidney because he's been must start, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
I remember Tyson Ross and Ian Kennedy had back-to-back good games against Colorado. I actually thought Arrieta was going to be all right.
And he was.
I did too. Recommended him last week when we did the pitching preview.
He gave up 9 runs. That 6 of them came in the 5th inning, I believe. So just kind of a bump in the road, no big deal.
Yeah, this is just definitely Colorado in my opinion.
I think so. Yeah.
Chris Davis and Matt Kemp both homered. Davis this with a C. Well, Chris Davis with a K homered too. But Chris Davis with a C is homered in 2 straight games. One of them needs to retire.
Well, the Brewers are kind of working on that, right?
I don't know, Al. I know that there's some playing time issues for Chris Davis, but he's also got the elbow injury.
Yeah, I suppose that the timing of it makes it kind of hard to know what their intentions are. But you know, as you know from after the trade deadline, I didn't really entertain seriously the idea that Parra would get playing time over Chris Davis.
Mm. Yeah, I'd like to know if it's because of the elbow injury. Davis came off the bench, homered. We'll check in on that. But Chris Davis with a C is homered in 2 straight games. First time all year he's done that. And Matt Kemp is hot. He's got 6 home runs in his last 9 games. So thoughts on those guys?
I know you got thoughts.
Yeah, Matt Kemp.
Point something out the other day.
Yeah, I sent the story to Al and Scott. Matt Kemp switched his batting stance. And when he was struggling earlier this season, the Dodgers were urging him to do it. And he wouldn't do it because he's a veteran. Look, I got here. I've been doing this my whole career, and It's interesting the Dodgers hitting coach was talking about. Sometimes you just have to make minor tweaks. You know, he says baseball is a game of, you know, streaks, and it, you know, you don't want to admit it, but you have to do it. And he did it. They got him to stand. I believe it's a little more upright in his stance or hunched over. I can't remember right now, but
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
he tweaked
different.
Something. He right. He tweaked something in his stance, and the results have just been fantastic since he's done it. And this could continue because right now his confidence is up, and whatever's working for him. You know, how many times have we seen this with Lucas Duda or somebody else that's just made some tweak to J.D. Martinez, and then look at them now. They're just producing for fantasy owners.
Yeah, and I'll admit, so you mentioned that to me, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, and then I thought on a little bit more, and later on I thought, you know, but we don't know. What are all the other things Matt Kemp has tried this year that haven't worked? So, it, you know, that information vacuum, just found another way to use the word
nice.
Vacuum.
Nice. That. Yo-yo vacuum, you're on the roll today, Al Melchior.
Later.
So, yeah, so I have to admit, as hot as Kemp has been, the coincidence with that change in the batting stance, it all seems pretty compelling. And yet, yeah, I'm not fully confident yet.
Would you guys rather have Kemp or Cespedes rest of season?
Yeah, I'd rather have Cespedes still.
Oh, man, that's so close. I mean, I want to say
close.
Kemp. I'll go with Kemp.
Kemp or Alex Gordon?
Kemp.
I know I have Gordon ranked higher. This is a case where Kemp's upside. I would actually go with him.
Kemp or Billy Hamilton, who I'm quite worried about. He's hitting like crap.
Yeah. No, I'm not worried about Hamilton. In a roto league, I'd rather have him. In a points league, I think I would go Kemp.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think I'm the same way, but man, Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp's getting back to the Matt Kemp that he used to be. He was a top five fantasy outfielder at one point.
Still not stealing bases, but yeah, it's good to see the power coming around. Chris Davis, though, two home runs in, one home run in two straight games. Eh?
I wanted to ask you, I wanted to just go a quick question. Do you have a problem with two Chris Youngs? Do you want one of them to retire, too?
No.
We only talk about one of them.
They play different positions.
Oh, okay. All
so
right,
it's
right.
Obvious who we're talking about.
But, oh, I see batter pitcher, not because Chris Davis.
Yeah, Davis is also playing.
Yeah, sorry. They, right. So.
Okay, go ahead.
I say Chris Davis homered yesterday. You know.
Oh, right.
You don't know what I'm talking about. I say Chris Young homered yesterday.
You know, yeah.
You know what
I got you. All right, yeah. We're cool. Moving on.
Hey, interleague, it could happen.
It could happen. Fine, then. If Chris Young had a quality start yesterday, you know who I'm talking about.
From the Mets outfield? That's fantastic.
Exactly. Now can we answer the question about Chris Davis?
Okay,
what do you guys think about this guy?
I really do hold out hope for him, but he's striking out an alarming trend. The thing that's kind of interesting, and I found this, I wrote about him in my column that should be up today. And I knew he'd been striking out a lot. I knew the power had kind of sort of been there. He is homering over, I think it's the last 88 at bats, something like that, 80 some odd at bats. He's homering at almost the identical pace during that stretch as he did before that. Before that, he was striking out every third at bat. Over the last 85-ish at-bats, he's been striking out in more than half. Mm. And it is. It was 44 strikeouts and 85 at-bats going into yesterday.
He also owns Toronto. That's like the – you know, he's got a career 668 slugging percentage against Toronto. So, you know, that's just a good place for him, I guess.
But the point, because I know it was a lot of stuff I threw out there, but the point I was trying to make is that the power never went away. But if he doesn't start making more contact, he really isn't very useful. And I think he will rebound. But yeah, exactly.
Right.
Can we talk about another Chris real quick? Chris Bryant, the Cubs prospect. So yesterday, Jed Hoyer was on MLB Network Radio, and they asked him about it. And he goes, there's no guarantee he could be up this season, but he might be up, right? And then at the same time, there was a story that came out from, I believe, CSN Chicago saying in local television on Tuesday when Javier Baez made his major league debut, cable was up for Cubs game 43%.
Wow.
And I've been saying this for how long about the baseball side of Chris Bryant coming up to the major. Scott hasn't liked it. I said, if Javier Baez draws 43% increase in cable, can you imagine in September what Chris Bryant could do? And Al, talk to me, what's the downside of promoting Chris Bryant in September? I mean, he's done everything in the minors. I mean, are they worried about him wearing down? And to me, if you're going to send him to the AFL, which is the Arizona Fall League, I mean, what's the point? Send him to the majors. Get him ready for next season.
Oh, so you weren't saying he's going to go play for the New York Titans?
I mean, right? I don't understand the downside of having him play in September and getting some at-bats.
Yeah, no, I think you mentioned probably the biggest part of the downside, which is the potential for wearing down, the potential for getting hurt.
Okay.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you in terms of what makes sense. I'm not saying I agree with you in terms of that's what the Cubs are going to do. And I don't know. I'm not really – there's been some mixed signals out there.
Yeah, I've been –
So I'm not ruling it out. I think I'm not quite as averse to the idea as Scott is that that it could happen. But
yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because I've been saying the business side of baseball has been the reason why Brian was going to come up. And yesterday with Javier Baez news coming out of how much – he moved the cable, it just makes sense, right? I mean, to bring money into your team. Isn't that what these baseball teams are?
Fannies in the seats, right? Yeah,
exactly. So.
Well, the clubs probably worry about that less than most teams.
Right. So thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. So I get on my soapbox there.
No, no problem.
What did you say to Scott? You really kind of gave Scott a lecture yesterday.
I did because...
Did you say the baseball is played by grown men or something like that?
Oh, yeah. No, I said it's not like this is a sport played by children.
What does that mean?
Mocking it, baseball is referred to, you know, a lot of these guys say, you know, we play a sport made for kids or whatever like that. So I was mocking the whole thing. So.
All right, a few more standouts from Wednesday's game. Shelby Miller, last three starts, 18 and two-thirds, 10 hits, 5 earned, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts. Now came against three teams that are struggling at the Cubs, at the Padres, home against Boston. But positive signs for Miller since his very brief demotion to the bullpen.
Yeah. And here's my new outlook on Shelby Miller, who I will now stop calling Schlubby Miller. I just wasn't trusting him at all for the last couple months at least. But now that he's not walking guys, I mean, he's pitching to contact, but his control is much better. And as a fly ball pitcher, I trust him in starts like this because this was at Busch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's kind of now moved into the realm of, I was going to say Chris Young's. I don't know if that's the best comparison, but guys that I trust at home and in pitcher's parks.
Would you rather own Shelby Miller or Jason Hamill?
Shelby.
You know, I hate to say it at this point. Yeah, Shelby.
Because I actually, in a column, Scott and I are coming out of prospects, we talk about Drew Pomeranz, and I fully believe if Hamill struggles or an injury befalls a starter, Drew Pomeranz is going to jump in the rotation.
How about Shelby Miller or Matt Shoemaker?
I'll still go Shoemaker here. I trust him a little bit more for strikeouts and otherwise kind of a similar profile and a better offense to back him up.
Not a lot more with strikeouts?
I don't know. I mean, he's had the strikeouts, but lately he's really not gotten very many swings and misses. So I think he is due for some regression there.
Okay.
But I still like him better than Shelby.
I'll go Shelby.
Shelby Miller or Danny Salazar?
Shelby.
Salazar.
Is he coming back? Or, like, this is a... Like, he's got to stay in the minors for 10 days unless an injury happens.
Right. You know, which could happen. And I really do think he'll be back. Just by virtue of the fact that you look at the competition he would have for a rotation spot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm cool with Salazar, but Shelby Miller's actually in the rotation and getting starts, so.
Jeremy Hellickson, 26% owned. Big start yesterday at Oakland. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, 3 strikeouts. First time in 4 starts this year, he's only made 4, that he's pitched at least 5 innings. Thoughts on Hellickson?
Yeah, I was at his start, actually, last Friday against the Angels when Shoemaker was on the mound.
Yep.
And the funny thing was Trout hit a home run 2 batters into the game, and my dad and I were just saying, I mean, Jeremy Hellickson looks like he's throwing batting practice. I mean, they were just jumping all over him. He actually settled down after the first inning. But listen, he's coming off a major injury, had a lot of time off, and looks like they're still babying him. Like, you know, they don't want to push him too hard. It's a good start, but I still think there's a lot of rocky times ahead for Jeremy Hellickson.
And Glenn Perkins has given up 11 hits in his last 7 appearances with 2 walks, only 2 earned runs. Looked at the velocity, down a little bit from this time last year, but still throwing pretty hard.
And he will fix it.
Yeah?
And you know why?
Why?
Because he pays very close attention to advanced stats.
Does he?
Yeah. That basically is just an excuse for me to mention that.
It was great, that story, man.
That was a great story. You were the one who showed me that.
Yeah. Any concerns?
Very cool story.
About Perkins?
No, I mean, not because he likes to know what a swinging strike rate is, but just because I don't think this is a very, you know, severe slump that he's in.
Let's go through the injuries. Adam Eaton left yesterday's game with a bruised back. He ran into the outfield wall. I think Leury Garcia replaced him.
That is correct.
Brett Anderson on the DL with a back injury, and Jordan Lyles was activated and started yesterday. We'll talk about him.
Can they name it like the Brett Anderson National League Memorial Disabled List or something like that? I mean, he's always on it.
He's got to be.
He's not dead, though, Herb.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Is he the most injury-prone pitcher in baseball?
Got to be.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Giovanni Soto expected back tomorrow. Tanaka will not be back in August. Okay? That I know now. The Cubs claim Jacob Turner. They haven't gotten him yet, but they could get him. George Springer tweaked his strained quad, so we don't know when he'll be back. It was looking like he'd be back today. Atlanta hoping that Andrelton Simmons can avoid the DL with his ankle injury. Teixeira, day-to-day, he needed stitches on his pinky. X-rays were negative. Won't play today against Detroit. David Ortiz sat last night in an NL park. Adam Lind could be back this weekend. Brett Laurie was out of the lineup with a back injury. The Blue Jays promoted a starting pitching prospect, Daniel Norris, to AAA. Torrey Hunter was out with a bruised hand. He's day-to-day. Garrett Cole will make another rehab start. He got beat up in his last one, so won't be coming off the DL in time for his next start. Neil Walker sat. He has the back injury. Michael Martinez played second base. Yonder Alonso hitting better. It's coinciding with his wrist being healthy. Jason Wirth left with a neck strain. Apparently his shoulder has been bothering him. Jed Lowry has a bruised finger, but he should be back today. Zach Putnam expected back tomorrow. Michael Kadire began a rehab assignment. This is the Oakland outfield from yesterday against the righty. Crispin center, Folden left, Reddick in right, Stephen Vogt DHing.
Just as advertised.
Yeah.
And I know Vogt's in a major slump, but I hope fantasy owners don't give up on him because his numbers were really high, so he was due for a market correction. To me, this is just a slump. I'm not worried yet.
And Chris Coughlin batted leadoff. He went 3-for-3 with a double and a triple at Colorado, and Arizmendi Alcantara was moved down to fifth in the order. He went 1-for-4 with a homer.
Well, that's very nice because Chris Coughlin now can be part of the ex-Marlins welcoming committee for Jacob Turner when he gets to Wrigley.
Hey, can we just talk about one thing from the notes? You were talking about Garrett Cole, and Al and I, off the podcast, had this conversation yesterday about who's going to make way for in the rotation when Garrett Cole comes back, because Vance Worley is pitching really well, and Vance Worley is a guy that blames his struggles last year on injuries, and he said he kind of blames the Twins rotation, Twins pitching staff for not helping him fix a flaw in his delivery. He said his shoulder was flying open, and people were seeing what he was throwing. Mm. Now he said the Pirates fixed that, and look at his numbers now. They're really good. I know this is like Vance Worley Rookie of the Year. He's like finished third in Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. Like he's back to that level.
Yeah.
Can they really afford to remove him from the rotation?
I mean, I don't think so. You don't know how teams are going to go. I think, and I think you, Adam, might have suggested this first, that Volquez.
Not me.
Okay.
Different Adam.
Somebody did.
I think it was our resident Pirates fan.
Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, Flingo. Right.
I think it was him.
It was him. Yeah. And he's a very trustworthy source.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense to me. You had mentioned Locke. He pitched pretty well last night. But, yeah, it bears watching because I think any three of those guys could be vulnerable.
Well, you know what I love, guys. I love good movies. Love me some sports.
Walks on the beach, you know.
Love walks on the beach. Love league disputes. And we got another one. Got another one. It's our email of the day. It's from Justin in Bangor, Maine. He says, Dear Wainwright, LaRoche, Rosales, Jones, Warren, Ottavino, and Eaton.
They're Adams.
They are. He should have put Apple. That would be funny. I've got a Fozzie of a bear of a problem.
Waka, waka, waka.
Ah, that's great.
I'm pretty sure that's a Ned Flanders quote. I'm a commission of a 10-team head-to-head points league. Maybe I should do all of Justin's typos, too, because there are some good ones here, like Joan instead of Jones. And I'm a commissioner. I am a commission of a 10-team H-at-8-H points league. So, we're hitting shift.
He was just doing
typed, the two there.
He was just doing the Herc Love pronunciation for typing.
Gotcha. Recently, a trade has transpired between two owners in the league that appears to be incredibly lopsided. Here are the deets. Owner A is in first place, where owner B is eliminated from the playoffs. Owner A sends Blackman, Springer, and Porcello to owner B for Cole Hamels and Stanton. So he gave up Blackman, Springer, and Porcello, and he got Hamels and Stanton. Owner A and B are brothers. Owner A justified the trade after the league complained by stating, quote, Porcello has been better than Hamels and Blackman plus Springer is better than Stanton. There are no keeper considerations for next year. I've considered vetoing the trade, but am unsure if this truly grounds for a commish veto. Please rule on this matter, and we will abide by your ruling.
All right, first of all, I'm pretty sure his argument is because Porcello has more points, but he's been healthy all year. Hamels missed a good chunk of time, and Hamels has been nothing short of outstanding. So I don't buy that argument, and if it's not a keeper league, you absolutely veto the trade, regardless that they're brothers. I mean, this is just... Cole Hamels and Giancarlo Stanton are high-end fantasy players. Springer's on the DL.
I think it's vetoable because one guy's eliminated from the playoffs. Otherwise, it would just strike me as a really bad trade, but not like an egregious trade.
Yeah.
I mean, but in my opinion...
They're brothers.
Yeah.
This is collusion.
It's BS. I don't know if you... I guess if you want to take it. Regardless, on face value, this is not a good trade.
No, it's not a good trade, but I think it has to be like really bad to be vetoable.
Right.
And the fact that they're brothers and one of them is eliminated from the playoffs and the other's in first place doesn't smell right, Al.
It doesn't. I'm really struggling here because I hate trade vetoes.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, you love trade or league disputes. You love the whole thing. I'm much more conflicted than you. But I, in my gut, I feel like this is vetoable. And I my criteria for whether or not a trade's vetoable is, you know, whether you just cannot think of a plausible explanation why. And unfortunately, in this case, I could see a plausible explanation because of how well all three, Blackman, Springer, and Porcello, have played. But I think Springer's the only one who could be as good or better going forward, assume he ever plays again.
I mean, I could see like a novice owner making this deal.
Sure.
But this comes back from what we were talking about yesterday. An owner who's eliminated from the playoffs, I don't really like them making trades. And you and Scott were saying, well, it could be their only league and you got to play it out. And I do agree that's a good point. You don't want to just say, hey, stop playing. You're eliminated. But making a trade to make the first place team better when you're eliminated from the playoffs, I don't like it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If this was Hamels or Stanton from last year, I would say it's not vetoable. But you can't even really make the argument that season to date that this makes any kind of sense.
especially in a 10-team league.
Yeah.
You know?
Veto it.
And I just want to clarify, I don't like league disputes in my leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Just other people's.
I only like them in other people's leagues.
By the way, have you ever guys seen The Mighty Ducks 2?
I didn't even see the original.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, didn't you know Bangermain? Isn't that from Julie the Cat's from Bangermain?
Could be.
All right. For whatever reason, that stuck in my head.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's talk about these fringy starting pitchers. Joe Kelly, nice Red Sox debut. 4 walks, 2 strikeouts, but only 1 run on 3 hits in 7 innings at the Cardinals. So he and Shelby Miller faced off against each other. They were best men in each other's weddings.
They made a bet, too. Did any of them have to pay it off?
No, I don't think either of them got a hit.
Okay.
It was $100 someone got a hit, right? Drew Hutchison. I'm going to look at matchups. We're getting to the point where we could start looking at week to week here. Joe Kelly is at Cincinnati and home against Houston. Drew Hutchison is at Seattle and home against and at Chicago next week. Josh Colemanter had a decent start there against Kansas City. In fact, 6 strikeouts in 6 innings against Kansas City. The Royals have by far the fewest strikeouts in baseball. Colemanter at Cleveland and at Miami. Jeff Locke, 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, no walks, and 7 strikeouts against the Marlins. He is getting Detroit at home and Washington on the road next week. Dan Herron finally had a good start at Atlanta, home against Milwaukee next week. Matt Shoemaker, I think he's only a 1-start guy next week, but I didn't know how that was possible since he was pitching on Wednesday.
They have 2 days off?
Do they?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah, they would have to, yeah. Jeremy Hellickson, at Texas, home against the Yankees. John Neese, opponents are batting .324 since the All-Star break, since he returned from the DL. At Philadelphia, home against the Cubs. Despaigne's been terrible. He's got Colorado, and he's at St. Louis. Kohler got roughed up. He's got the Cardinals and Diamondbacks at home. And Chris Young is a 1-start pitcher with Toronto next week.
I don't like any of these matchups. Just going through them.
Well, I like Kohler's matchups. Cardinals and Diamondbacks at home.
Yeah, that's about it.
Not to say he'd be my favorite from the list, but...
No, but he's... Yeah, I could see him as a candidate for the borderline list that I'll start putting together today.
I could see Joe Kelly having a decent week. Maybe Cincinnati's a little bit tough, but he gets Houston to finish off the week. Got a lot of strikeouts there, maybe.
I just don't trust Joe Kelly.
Okay, so who would you go after on this list? Matchups aside or including matchups, whatever.
Well, if Jonathan Neese wasn't pitching like a bum, he'd be my easy choice, but I can't trust him right now.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Neese either. The only one on this whole list that looks like a lock is Jeff Locke.
Locke has Detroit at home and Washington on the road.
And those are fairly tough matchups. Well, Tigers, very tough matchup, but...
not for Chris Capuano.
Yeah, not for him. If he could do it, Jeff Locke could do it.
Agreed. By the way, if you're a J.D. Martinez owner and you're getting frustrated, he came half a foot away from hitting a home run last night to a deep, deep part of the ballpark. So be encouraged. All right, next category. Oh, I was going to sing it, but I just don't feel like I have it in me right now. Why you got to be so rude? I hate that song. You know that song?
No.
Really? Herc?
Yeah, I know that song.
How do you feel about it?
I'm not a huge fan.
Sonny Gray was so rude yesterday. 10 hits, 7 runs, 6 earned, and 4 and a third. Jake Arrieta, why you got to be so rude?
Wait, can we just go out with Sonny Gray? Because yesterday I screamed out in the middle of the office because Al sits about, 10 feet away from me or whatever like that?
Oh, it's a solid 20.
Okay, all right. So I go, Al, I says, it's not always sunny in Oakland.
Nice.
I go, it's not always sunny in Oakland. And he goes, ha! And then I go on Twitter and I said, Al didn't appreciate this. And he goes, not true. So I wasn't sure if it was a mocking laugh or a pity laugh or a...
Yeah, I know it was kind of a subdued reaction on my part, but
I thought you may
I was really laughing hard on the inside.
Oh, okay. I thought you may have like a Sonny Gray in the league, and you're like, this is not funny.
Speaking of funny things that happened by your desks, I understand Scott White did an impression of Dave Richards' laugh.
Oh, it's fantastic.
For Dave Richards. He did it on the podcast yesterday, and it's awesome.
It is.
And Dave's reaction was great. I don't want to say it because I want to bring Scott on the football podcast today to have him do the impression, and then Dave can tell the story. All right. Why you got to be so rude, Sonny Gray? It was funny, right?
It was very funny.
Jake Arrieta and Julio Teheran has a 4.27 ERA on the road.
Hmm.
That's weird. And 1.48 at home. And he got roughed up at Seattle yesterday. And Teheran had a 3.38 ERA on the road last year. So he has struggled so far in 5 road starts this year at San Francisco, at Colorado, at the Mets, at the Cubs, and at Seattle. Don't really know what to make of it.
Now, are those just the ones where he struggled? Okay, because I was going to say
he's had a lot of good road starts.
Yeah.
A few good road starts, but these are the 5 that have inflated his ERA so that it's 4.27 on the road.
Yeah, other than the Coors Field start, it just looks pretty random to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you sure it's not Tirahan?
Tirahan. Well, we'd have to move the R a few spaces up.
Herc, you have so many ways to pronounce this
exactly,
name, and I love them all.
Yeah, thank you.
4 up, 2 down. 4 up number 1 is Adam LaRoche. 2 homers at the Mets yesterday, 10 hits in his last 6 games. On the year, 273 with 15 homers. Great walk-to-strikeout ratio, 15 doubles. Number 17 first baseman in points, number 16 in Roto. And LaRoche just came off a brutal July in which he hit 159 with 1 home run and 11 RBI.
Are you aware he's a perennial second-half player, Adam LaRoche? If you look at his splits from the first half to the second half?
Yeah, I don't think that was the case last year.
There's one. He's only had really 2 bad second halves in his career, and one was last year.
So what are you expecting?
Yeah, I mean, they're in contention. He hits in the heart of the lineup, and it's the second half of the season. I'm okay. I actually know who I picked up in a fantasy league because, for whatever reason, he goes off in August. Will Venable of the Padres. I mean, look at his splits. It is just in August, whatever happens.
So even before last year?
It is just completely – look at all his other months. They're terrible. August is just his best month. He's a 333 hitter with like a 547 slugging percentage.
Would you drop CJ Cron for Will Venable?
Yeah, right now I would, absolutely.
Venable did not have a hit yesterday.
And struck out 3 times,
But he made a game-saving catch in the 9th inning, and it was awesome. Would you drop LaRoche? If he was your utility guy, which I think he might be, Baez becomes available, or some you know, Shelby Miller or some Jimmy Nelson.
John Singleton.
Some guy
Kenny
you really
Vargas.
Want to pick up. No, not those guys. I'm just saying, like, the hot pickup is LaRoche expendable.
He is to me. And, yeah, when you said Baez and you said Jimmy Nelson, like, I was done with it before you finished the sentence.
Well, I had you at Baez.
Yeah.
The only reason I want to bring up John Singleton is because in late July, the hitting coach, John Maley, I think that's how you say his name, but
well, that's probably the case.
Yeah, exactly. you know, they were working on shortening his swing path, and ever since they did that, he's looking
who?
Like the player. John Singleton. They're working on shortening his swing path. And ever since they did that, he's been the same player he looked like in the minors. His plate discipline's there. He's hitting for power. So is this finally the John Singleton we've been waiting for since he got called up?
Chase Headley. First multi-hit game in his last 11 yesterday. He homered off Justin Verlander. He's batting .263 with two homers and six RBI with the Yankees. Headley or McGee?
Headley.
Yep.
Headley or Baez?
Baez.
I don't know, Al. I mean, yeah, I guess maybe for the middle infield aspect because he's going to have second base and shortstop eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, third base has been really weak. And Headley's been pretty good over the last few weeks.
Shortstop's not so hot either, though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And, yeah, it's not a slam dunk.
Yeah.
But I'm not – if you look at 2 years ago, yeah, you could say Headley has the same sort of upside. I don't really reasonably expect Headley to be that guy again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think Baez could really take off and be a huge power source.
The only thing is that – you know, Headley said, this is the grip I've had on my bat when I broke out in 2012 now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if that's the same hitter, and he's been doing well with the Yankees.
Yeah, not that well, though.
All right. But, yeah. I mean, the only thing is that when I think it was like some Chicago beat writer put out a story yesterday about how Tulo, Jeter, all these really high-end names like Baez, a prospect, came up to the majors and didn't hit well in their first month. I made the mock. I said, that's not fair because what about the six other guys who came up and did really well in their first month in the majors? You know, Baez went 1-for-6 with a home run in his debut, and he was 0-5 until the home run. Yeah, I mean, he has a high strikeout rate. It just, you know, Headley's in a good spot right now, and he has the veteran experience. So I wouldn't, well, I know we're going off, but I just want to say I wouldn't rule out picking him up if you're looking for a third baseman.
Would you drop Pedro Alvarez for Chase Headley?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Dustin Ackley homered again. So before it was like, well, he's hitting for all this average, but no power. Now he's got three home runs in his last six games, and he's 51% owned.
Yeah, I'm the only Ackley fan here. Go read my column this week because that's what I said. I would become an Ackley fan if he hit for average before he hit for power, and he hit for average, and the power came because when he came out of college, the MO was this guy's gonna hit for average. They weren't sure if the power was there. So when he started hitting for power before average, I'm like, this is not Chase. I mean, this is not Dustin Ackley. Now that he hit for average before he hit for power, I'm on the Dustin Ackley bandwagon. Not as a must-own guy, but, you know, he's coming around.
Would you rather have Ackley or Jerko?
Ackley.
Much rather have Jerko.
Ackley or Neil Walker?
Oh, Neil Walker.
Neil Walker.
Ackley or Prado?
I'll still go Prado.
Yeah, I think I'll slightly go Prado there, too.
Carl Crawford is 30% owned. He's got 14 steals in 64 games. Last year, Crawford had 15 steals in 116 games. But he's having the worst offensive season of his career. Do you think Crawford is a good, you know, in the Lorenzo Cain mold guy just to put on your roster for steals?
Not really, to be honest. But then again, I'd sort of given up on Cain as that kind of guy. And he's been better in the last few weeks since I gave up on him. But long term, I don't know that either one's going to help enough.
Two down, Alex Gordon, 0-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. He is batting .237. Well, before yesterday, he was batting .237 with no homers, seven doubles in his last 31 games. So he's slumping. Top 28, number 28 outfielder in points, number 38 in Roto. Any concerns about Gordon?
Nah, none at all.
Yeah, me either.
It's 2 years in a row, though, with like a pretty low slugging percentage, where in Roto, like, I don't know how much he helps you. He's just not a home run hitter. He's got 9 homers this year.
Okay, so you've got this is just past 31 games, what the ranks
are. Well, I have
are.
Both stats.
Yeah. But
no. Past 31 games, those are not the ranks. Overall, he's number 28.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, if he's doing that well during a slump. But, those look about right. I mean, that means that, you need him.
Yeah, he's obviously a must own.
Yeah.
Elvis Andrews has a 13-game hitting streak, but he's in two down because he's already been thrown out 12 times this year in 33 stolen base attempts. Now, in 2012, he had the same amount of steals that he has now, 21. In 31 attempts instead of this year's 33. So pretty much the same, although that was a full season. He came back in 2013 with 42 steals in 50 attempts. I just thought it was discouraging to see his percentage so low this year. Andrews is the number 10 shortstop in fantasy. He will turn 26 this month, so it's not like he's old.
Yeah, and the fact that he's he's kind of entering his peak now and that he's bounced back from stolen base inefficiency before. I'm not too alarmed, but it's a little discouraging.
I always like to see if it's like, Adam brought up about Billy Hamilton gets picked off more than, but it's kind of caught stealing, or who do you try and steal on? I mean, and also some of this time it's just what pitch was thrown, where it was thrown, if the catcher gets out of his squat fast enough. I mean, there's so many variables.
Three-man rotation. Matt Latos, Justin Verlander, and Yordano Ventura had encouraging starts. Ventura has struck out 22 in his last 19 and a third. I was up late last night, watched a lot of that game, and he was filthy. It was at Arizona, and they are terrible. But
isn't that a great podcast idea, Up Late at Night with Adam Azer?
Yeah.
Talk fantasy sports?
Probably the most boring thing. I am so boring when I'm up late. But anyway, Ventura, Latos, Verlander, thoughts on these guys?
The Latos start is encouraging.
Absolutely.
But I'm not quite there yet in terms of being willing to start him. I've been benching Latos.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so more swinging strikes in this most recent start, but the first one in a while where he's had good control. So at least another week to see if he can put it all together.
I believe all three runs came in the eighth inning. He was seven scoreless, I believe. So.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Verlander?
It seems from start to start, you just don't know what you're going to get with Justin Verlander anymore.
At Pittsburgh, home against Seattle next week. Start or sit?
It's two starts, you said?
Mm-hmm.
No, you start with Justin Verlander in two start weeks.
I haven't been. He's improved a little bit. I may consider it.
Okay. He is going up against the 2015 Cy Young Award winner in his second start, and that would be James Paxton. Deep leagues, we have Jordan Lyles, Chris Capuano, Nick Teppish, Chris Taylor, the Seattle shortstop who's batting 367, 394, 500, with no homers or steals and 30 at-bats, and Adam Rosales, who homered twice, Texas second baseman who's shortstop and first base eligible, homered twice off Chris Sale. Anybody that you want to pick up?
So you're saying he was stale, and that's why he led this? Taylor, not in a 12-team mixed league, but anything deeper. I think the steals could come. Not so sure about the power, but
what about playing time?
Yeah, well, that's probably the biggest reason why I'm not interested in a 12-team mixed league, because he's not going to get enough of it. And Capuano's kind of interesting too. I mean, he's had years where he's been pretty good.
Gosh.
And
if he were,
why you got to be so rude?
I was being rude to Al. No, I just.
I know.
If he were on any other team, would you said that?
I've seen all three of his starts. In fact, I went to the first game that he pitched a few weeks ago, and he was so lucky not to come out of that. I think he had the bases loaded three times in that game, at least twice. And his last night he was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But before last night, the start at Boston, he was terrible. The final line wasn't that bad. So he could have had two terrible starts out of three. So.
Look, they just threw him into the rotation. I mean, I don't even know how stretched out he's been. And I thought the Yankees were a terrible fit for Capuano. But what was interesting to me in this start was he got 9 ground ball outs. That's not typical for Capuano. But, maybe he's just crafty enough to make the adjustments that he's got to make to succeed. And
I hope you're right.
He's worth a deep league pickup.
Okay, all right.
I want to talk about one guy that's probably worth dropping right now, Taiwan Walker. I mean, he's coming off another bad start in AAA. Even on his good starts in AAA, how many strikeouts he gets a game? One.
Really?
One strikeout, and is like when he's pitching well. listen, you talk about James Paxton being a Cy Young next year. I mean, Tywin Walker's been hugely disappointing. I think he's, as if you read the prospects report column when it comes out, I do think he's going to get a chance to pitch again for the Mariners because he needs innings. So when the AAA season ends, they're going to have to keep building him up. But I just don't think he's very reliable right now. And I think if you're looking for somebody, like a two-star pitcher for next week or somebody you want to pick up, Tywin Walker's droppable.
Well, Chris Capuano probably is a two-star pitcher. Capuano.
Al, do you agree
week?
With my Walker assessment?
Yeah. No, I think he's droppable.
At Baltimore, at Tampa Bay, Chris Capuano. Injuries, news, and notes, part deux. San Diego named Texas assistant GM A.J. Preller their non-assistant GM, their real GM. Congratulations, A.J. Preller.
Now we have Preller and Despinagne on and then,
Espionage. Jared Cozart will not make his start tonight due to an oblique strain. Brian Flynn will replace him for the Marlins. Cozart could make his start next week. Alejandro De Haza returned to the lineup. Michael Saunders is going to begin a rehab assignment today. Michael Pineda will make another rehab start tomorrow. Nick Swisher returned. Angel Pagan should be back today. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. You must put baseball podcast or grade the trade in the subject line.
Can we just add a little something to the news and notes there I just thought about?
Hit me.
All right. Marco Estrada pitched several innings last night, so it looks like Mike Fiers has the best chance to get called up.
Interesting.
For that.
Did you say he's on
Garza.
Fiers?
I didn't.
But one he would.
Could say that.
Has he been pitching?
Fiers?
Yeah.
I don't know how he's done recently, but overall he's had a very, very good season in AAA.
Let's take a look. Mike Fiers has a 2.55 ERA, 17 walks, 129 strikeouts in 102 and a third, and he is on Fiers lately. Yeah, he's pitching great.
So you got those numbers from the last few starts?
How about his last 10? He's got a 3.32 with 65 strikeouts to 11 walks in 57 innings, and opponents are hitting 235, last two starts, two earned runs, and one walk, 14 Ks.
Can you look at his home and away splits for the year?
Anything else? home, 343, away, 187.
Interesting. I figured it would have been the other way because if he goes to all these like hitter-friendly parks, like there's a lot of them in the PCL, that his road ERA would have been well up. So that's very encouraging.
He went to Nova Southeastern. Who knew? That's where I went to high school.
Didn't J.D. Martinez also go to Nova Southeastern?
I don't know.
So, he's from
Florida.
The area.
Yeah.
So. Mike Fiers is from Hollywood, Florida. Get out of town. Or come back to town. From Seabass, approve the move. Dear Longfellow, Marty, Dano, and Tony.
Longfellow Deeds?
Only Dano I know is Hawaii 5-0.
Drop, it's an ad drop, approve the move. Drop all the grade the trades that aren't one-for-one deals and add Fantasy Feud to each podcast.
Buying, right? Oh, I got to grade it, an A?
A plus.
All you have to do is approve it. It's approve the move.
Oh, approve,
all
right.
I would love to do more Fantasy Feud.
We failed the
feud.
Format, but I approve the move.
All right, fine, we'll get more Fantasy Feud in there. The only thing was, like, I did that because there were only 7 games the previous day, so we don't get too many days that are so light on the notes, but Fantasy Feud's fun, so... We'll do it. From Joe, grade the trade. And I know Seabass would disapprove of this one. 10-team points league. Give Beltre, McGee, Arrieta, get Jose Abreu, and C-Sheck.
Grade the trade.
So Beltre and Arrieta and McGee to get Abreu and C-Sheck.
D.
No, I like it better than that. I'm trying to figure out if I like it better than a C.
He doesn't need a closer.
Okay. I'll still give it. Oh, wait. SPs. I'm sorry. It's taking me so long. Okay. I'm going to give it a C-, because I do feel like it downgrades his starting pitching a little too much.
Yeah. Jake asks. Well, first he says, good morning, Papa, lazy and handy.
I am quite lazy. Thank you.
You guys got it yet?
No.
No.
Smurfs.
Smurfs.
10-team points league, 5 year-to-year keepers. I'm out of the playoff hunt for the season. I'm looking to improve my 5 keepers. I currently have Chris Davis with a C, Darvish, Puig, McCutcheon, and either Garrett Richards, Prince Fielder, or David Ortiz. I really don't like keeping more than one starting pitcher, so I have some trade offers sent to me, and I'm not sure what to do. Here are his trade offers. Give up Richards, get Springer. Give up Chris Davis and Garrett Richards, get Rizzo. Give up Fielder and Todd Frazier, get Harper. Give up Prado and Ortiz, get Votto.
I like those last two a lot.
Yeah, which of these should I accept?
I would I'd go Fielder and Frazier for Harper. I like that one the best.
I really do like the Anthony Rizzo trade. I mean, Anthony Rizzo's become such a good option.
I don't know that he's better than Chris Davis next year.
Wow,
I
really
think so.
Yeah.
You think Chris Davis bounces back, or you think Rizzo's overperforming?
No, I think Rizzo's at least as good as he is next year, but I think Davis bounces back.
I actually got this question in an email the other day, and I approved both the Harper and Votto trades, so I'm with you on that one, Al.
From Paul. Oh, this is a follow-up on a league dispute. So this was, do you remember the details of the league dispute from yesterday?
I don't even remember what I had for
or
breakfast,
Tuesday.
So, you know.
More info has come to light, and I want to see how you feel now. The owner that dropped 8 players went on to drop his entire roster for all Astros players. He's a big Astros fan. The two trades he made were so he could get Altuve and Keuchel on his team. He wants to see if he can win a week with all Astros.
Well, the Astros can't win a week with all Astros, so...
Wait, did you see the campaign yesterday? Hashtag defend Houston. They were going all off about how, you know, they're better than the Rangers now.
True. Okay.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't think he did this with malicious intent, but he also didn't think out the consequences. Thoughts now that you have more information?
This is still crazy.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
No. Al, that was the greatest thing. The Astros can't even win a week.
Yeah, that was good.
Sorry.
Good line. All right, last one from Sean. Hey there, Mo, Larry, and Curly. I have no familiarity with the Three Stooges, really. So who's who?
Yeah, I should, but, you know, Curly's got the curly hair.
That's it?
And, I mean, I can picture Mo, but I can't really give you a good... He's got, like bangs.
Mm.
So Larry's
top,
the
right?
one with the baldish
he's,
one?
He's like... Yeah.
Okay. Need help filling my two utility spots. Who will be the best rest of season? Duda, Chris Davis with a K, Brett Laurie, Chisenhall. 12-team Dynasty Categories League.
Oh,
Duda, Chris Davis, Brett Laurie, Chisenhall.
This is so easy.
First two?
Lucas, it's so easy I didn't follow directions. but yeah, the first two. I was going to say Duda.
Well, actually, I was going to go Duda, Laurie, if Laurie can ever stay healthy. Just for the second base, third base eligibility.
The only thing I didn't like about today's show was we talked about Chris Davis, the two of them, so much, and I'm just annoyed. Like, it's a real pain in the butt. I can't deal with it.
Because you don't
want to
do right. You talk about
the
K, Chris Davis. Yeah. How about I fill in for you when we do that now?
Please.
All right.
By all means.
Al, are you talking about Chris Davis with a K or Chris Davis with a C?
Talking about the Orioles, Chris Davis.
Which Davis is that one?
All right,
there you go. Nice. So. Listen,
well,
okay, wait. You know, Adam has yawned like 3 times in the last like 15 minutes. He asked me before we come on, he says, are you not cold in this room? This room is extremely cold.
Freezing.
But you know why I don't wear a jacket?
Because
it's cold.
You up.
Exactly. It's early in the morning, and that's why. You just yawn 3 times because you're comfortable.
Do you ever get tired, though? Because you always have energy.
Oh, yeah. I had to get some coffee like at 3:30 yesterday. I was almost falling asleep in my cube.
Oh, yeah. I've done that quite a bit lately. Yeah. I actually got caught. A few months ago, guys started laughing at me.
Did they take pictures?
Girodi started laughing at me. No, I didn't take pictures. I just passed out of my desk. Like, I was reading on the computer, and I just my eyes shut. Next thing I know, I got people laughing at me, and I'm up.
Yeah.
Was your hand in a bucket of warm water?
No, it wasn't, but there was shaving cream all over my face.
Oh, nice.
So we're done for the day. Thank you all for listening. We're back tomorrow with some week 20 advice, right? 20?
Mm-hmm. We're in the 20s.
Yes, correct.
Really? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, week 20.
And then week after this, the season can drink.
Very nice.
Al Melky is on a roll today.
Al's killing it. Talk to you on Fantasy Baseball Today, live duties.